Heaven high.
Heaven high. How's married life treating you?
Looking forward to Crimble.
Yes, but today is the day where I killed your lord.
That's true. Crazy Jews.
So you have to come back and pogrom me today with some chocolate eggs. And that's what Easter's. What the true meaning of Easter, John, is not chocolate eggs. It is the resurrection of your Lord Jesus Christ. All right.
It's actually about the day that the baby Jesus emerged from a chocolate egg.
That's correct. This is Rum Doings, episode 260. You can follow us at Rum Doings, podcast at rumdoings.com for our email address. Today's topic, wouldn't it be better if people just took a moment to smell the roses? So what you been up to? Are you in a job?
I'm a doll scum.
You are doll scum. At what point would you actually think about applying for unemployment benefit?
If I couldn't make any money?
Is there any possibility that you will be taking unemployment benefit?
I already have enough work lined up that I wouldn't qualify.
But why do you have work lined up?
Because I'm not a fool.
So you're saying all unemployed people are fools?
Yes.
And I think in this current market, that's actually correct because there are far more, because there are far more vacancies than there are people to fill them.
So, how I wish the universe would bend itself so you were forced, you, Nick Mailer, were forced to take one of those vacancies.
I would
and see how readily you leapt at that job and the overnight shift at the 24-hour drive-through McDonald's.
I wouldn't. I would prefer to have unemployment benefit than that, so I would take the unemployment benefit. But if the unemployment benefit weren't available, I guess I'd have to.
I would argue that my circumstances are slightly different than I voluntarily left a job. So,
But why
to have voluntarily left and not have tried to line some bits and bobs up. I don't have a job or anything. I don't have enough. Certainly.
I'm
going to be strapped for cash pretty soon if I don't figure something out. But I have bits and bobs coming in that would certainly disqualify me, because if you make more than 10p a month, you're not allowed anything.
You could sell your body.
Like what, for scrap?
Fish and chips.
Just a little bit of comedy there for you, Nick.
It is. I went to a talk given by Barclays Bank the other day. We had to go politically because of the Barclays provide banking for our company. We're being nice to our bank manager. And they
but
told
I
us,
think Barclays Bank are awful and evil, and everyone associated with them is deeply corrupt.
Correct. But at this talk, there was a talk about Brexit, and they told us that nobody's really sure what's going on. So that was useful.
Whoa, hang on. Go back a bit.
That was very useful indeed. So I bet you didn't think that, John. But
no, I thought everything was fine.
They had some experts that basically said, I know. So there you go. That's the official line. You want to take some bets now? Where will we be by the end of the year?
Oh, I already know the answer. We're not leaving. I've maintained this since the day of the vote. We're going to stay in the EU long term.
So did my colleague Jake also said that. But I think what's going to happen is we will have left with Theresa May's deal. I genuinely think that. It'll be the same deal as ever. And it'll just
so explain to me
deal.
Explain to me how Northern Ireland / DUP gets this through.
It'll just be some lie. They'll say, it's fine. And eventually, see, these MPs eventually give in. You notice the numbers are coming down that are rebelling against. So eventually...
Yeah, absolutely. I see that route. I don't see the DP route. Bear in mind, you know, how long there hasn't been a parliament in Northern Ireland and how much the DP does not budge.
And they're quite good at saying, no. So, yeah,
exactly.
I guess so. But no, I think what will happen is Labour will get it through for her.
That seems frighteningly possible.
I mean, remember, it is 100% Labour's fault that we didn't, for example, get the second referendum.
Honestly, can I be honest with you for a moment?
You may be honest with me.
Thank you. I don't understand why you still support Jeremy Corbyn.
It's tough because on the one hand, I love his policies for the railways. And on the other hand, the fact that he's a completely useless racist idiot who will probably turn this country into Venezuela. So I have to balance those two things up very carefully. And, yeah. You know, it's I do like trains, John.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's a tough one. I mean, remember, he's very principled. So, and also his allotment, you know.
Yes.
Arrows, apples, he signed apples. Good. Remember Glastonbury, ooh, Jeremy Corbyn, remember? So actually, it's tough. He's the magic grandpa, etc.
He sure is.
Are the Corbynistas that are still following you showing any remorse whatsoever?
I don't think any still follow me.
Do any actively block you?
I'm fairly certain they do.
It's interesting.
I find that I'm blocked by people that really surprise me on Twitter. Like, people I've never encountered or come across from completely different walks of life.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that as well. But that's what happens when, you know, your SJW lists of people, and you probably yes. once said boo to a goose and geese are now part of a protected class, and therefore you are blocked by association.
I'm unequivocally on some very contentious block lists.
Correct, as am I. Anybody who's not on a contentious block list is probably so banal that they're barely sentient. You see, this is what happens. You were very pro censoriousness a few years ago. Now look what happens. You're hoisted by your own cliche.
What was I censorious about?
Remember, you used to love censoring everybody and shutting everybody up, and you used
no,
to tell Jack Dorsey.
This at all.
You used to tell Jack Dorsey to stop people harassing people and close down
no,
most of speech on Twitter.
Didn't do that.
And you
no.
told Mark Zuckerberg that you wanted him to be in charge of who gets to say what to everybody. And now, look
well,
where
I
we
did
are.
Say that because obviously, who better place to do that?
Well, apparently, that's what we want. Apparently, now we go. I'm particularly worried about this UK porn filter thing because actually,
yes.
technically, what it's doing is it's effectively saying the government can tell any ISP in the UK to shut down any site for any reason whatsoever. I'm not sure that's ideal for liberty, but there you go.
It's really quite awful.
Think of the children, John. Think of the children.
Yes, they'll never find porn now.
And therefore we need to... So basically, it's amazing how they will always take porn as the way of wedging in their China policies.
Yeah.
Where what the government's actually saying is we need the Great Firewall of China installed properly and finally in the UK. And not just apparently it's going to happen in July. That's it. Apparently that's fine.
But they've been trying it in so many different directions for so many years. They finally found... One that works.
Yeah, we'll just say, oh, porn kid, there you go. Everybody has to be on a big database, and every ISP basically has to filter every single site that's passing through it. And if the government says shut down access to that site, you just do it. Great, that's fine. That's a free society. I was perturbed the other day. You know, the climate protests in London, so-called climate protests. You've
Ooh.
Heard of them.
I have no opinion about them either way. Out here
I mean, I quite like. I mean, so it's just a bunch of vegan lesbians lying in the street, which is fine. And I like it because basically, the mayor of London cocked up the pedestrianisation of Oxford Street and Regent Street, and these lesbian vegans have managed to achieve it, which I found very pleasant. So, a power to their emaciated arms. But
some of my best friends are lesbian vegans. I'll have you know.
Yes. And as I said, I think they do a very good service. They basically did, you know, the Arthur Dent service. They lying in the ground and stopped the council from demolition before the Vogons came. And what I noticed is I suddenly couldn't connect to Wi-Fi. The London Underground has Wi-Fi
yes.
services. I couldn't connect.
I heard about this.
And I thought, what's going on? I can't connect. I need to send an email. What's going on? I got stuck in a station and I had to tell somebody where I was going because of it. And the police had just told if I'll switch off all Wi-Fi because we don't want the climate protesters to use it to communicate. I thought, that's very sinister when you stop to think. How dare they?
So sinister.
How dare they? You know, when we hear this, Erdogan in Turkey turns off yep. 3G and Wi-Fi and think, oh, this is a weird police state dictator. But apparently it's fine. The major capital of the world, London and New York, probably the two of them, the police just get to say where the major public transport communication network, they just get to turn it off on a whim. Brilliant. And then we have the other police. On the other side, we have police visiting people for misgendering folk. And that actually is happening. This is not a... I won't comment further on it because you're not allowed to. But generally, what the hell is going on?
What the hell's
going on?
I blew my nose.
No, don't. what I mean, when did it became okay that basically the police can arbitrarily just do stuff? Because that seems to be now what we've agreed.
It doesn't seem very healthy. We're sleepwalking into the cliche.
Well, we are. That's the scary thing. And people like Robert Morgan, while he's still in his comfortable million-pound house in Islington.
I love that you talk about him like every listener. Oh, yeah, Robert Morgan.
Robert Morgan. While he's sitting in his comfortable million-pound house in Islington and his children are going to those exclusive schools, he doesn't care about these things. And he says that's nonsense. It's just outright means. But it's not actually. And one day he will be a fan. I'm not going to start, we're talking about cliches. I'm not going to start quoting the first they came for poem that everybody abuses. But, this is how it starts. There is a genuine erosion of the concept of liberty in this country at the moment. And at the moment,
what's so peculiar is that it's coming from the left.
But it's also not. It's happening in this genuine, since we might as well go all in on cliches today, the boiled frog way. really is. We're sitting in a warm bath at the moment. It's just got a bit warmer than we want it to be at the moment. So maybe I'll add a bit of cold water in a moment. I can be bothered to reach forward to the tap. That's where we are now. But we know the trajectory. And come the next big recession or depression and there's massive civil unrest, I think I know where that trajectory is going to go. And it's not going to be pretty.
Mr. Javid just announced last night that he wants the police to use the full force of the law against the climate protesters. Which doesn't sound very good.
I don't mind using the full force of the law. It's the full force of the no law that's even worse, which is what effectively...
To make them up as they go along law.
Yeah, that's... And you're right. What I don't like at the moment is there's this horrible... And it happens frequently in history, this horrible conjunction of right-wing authoritarianism with left-wing authoritarianism, and there's this hand-in-hand thing. It happens with porn as well. Porn's an interesting thing where they wanted to both left-wing third-wave feminists and Christian fundamentalists join together to stop Page Three student unions and things like that a generation ago. And it's that same sort of hand-in-hand censoriousness as well at the moment. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, I hope the pendulum will swing and then there'll be another generation that comes out and actually decides they quite like having liberty from tyranny. So we'll see.
I hope so, because the irony, police visiting people for misgendering, it has happened. No one has been arrested. Nothing actually serious has actually happened. It is very much part of the alt-right memeism.
But it has happened. It does happen.
It's happened in the most non... event sort of way due to one overzealous police officer. What I fear is when you align yourself with the far right on these things, they will turn on you. And the people who the people who deserve protection, those who deserve protection from those who do aggressively and dangerously misgender, people who attack people for being trans or whatever, those people will not have your back at the point when they sniff real power.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if you think that getting an authoritarian state to protect you is the way to do it...
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. So if you think this is useful to me right now...
Yeah, the police will turn on you as well. Don't worry about that.
Exactly. And the people you... The authoritarianism never supports minorities. And so it will burn you badly.
You can use the bully daddy for a while it's in their interest. There are a few people in their interest to support you. But yeah, as you say, they'll eventually... Kick you in whatever genitals you choose to have. Whatever genitals you choose to have. Do you want to tell us about Toby?
No. Toby's been at his nanny and papa's house this week.
Don't say nanny and papa.
What does Judith call your parents?
Granny and granddad. That's appropriate. Nanny and papa. Come on now.
What about... Well, my parents were granny and granddad. My mum still is granny.
Right.
He named Papa himself, and then Nanny, because there was... He named them Nana and Papa. That was what he called them as babies, and then Nana evolved to Nanny.
Is Toby amazingly gifted, and you just don't know what you're going to do when he goes to school because the teachers won't realise his special gifts, and it's actually a special need in a way he's so brilliant?
It's weird that you say that. It really is. I like to think that he's almost unique.
Almost unique. Yeah. Maybe baby Einstein could have given him a run for his money, but otherwise you're basically, that's it for humanity, Toby and Einstein.
You should hear him when he composes on his broken stringed out of tune mini guitar thing.
Is it a guitar thing or is it a ukulele thing? Because ukuleles are cheating.
It's sort of half and half, I think. I don't think it even qualifies as a ukulele. It's some weird... It's like a cheap toy thing.
Basically, he's Tobo Mozart, yeah?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to show off, but he is. No. I think he does expose Mozart for the charlatan he was. I mean, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, come on.
Well, worse, that's plagiarism, because Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star already existed. He just did some variations on it, so no.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm, it's a very old song.
See, I always knew he was a fraud.
Do you know what's really interesting? The number of people who do not realise that Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star is the same thing as Bow Wow Black Sheep.
That is true. And I don't think even now listeners are going, no. And then they'll sing them both in the head. And then they will fall over to the floor.
They will. Oh, my goodness. There's never been a more shocking musical truth than, say, for example, the fact that the winner takes it all's chord progression is identical to Super Troopers.
Goodness me.
I'm going to reveal further shocks later on about the Beach Boys.
Crikey.
Christ.
Well, we got Toby into the school that we wanted. How middle class is that?
But you didn't have to move house to do it, so you lose middle class.
No, that's true. And I say we got him into makes it sound a lot more aggressive than we just applied for the school and we got our first choice.
Is it not Stabbers Academy then?
No, it's Hippies Academy we got him into.
Good. So it's a school. I mean, it's been I've been amazed. It's taken until now. She's 9 years old. It's taken until now that she says, "I dread going to school on Monday mornings." So that was a good run, wasn't it?
Gosh, yes. This school, they don't have to wear school uniforms, and they call the teachers by the first names, and they all have to wear flowers in their hairs every morning.
Yeah, but be careful. That could mask just something a bit rubbish. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. The weird thing was, as we toured all the different primary schools, mm-hmm. it was the only one, despite being this sort of, you know, this newfangled modern approach to education. It was the one that seemed most focused on teaching them anything.
I think Rousseau would like to have a word with you about newfangled, but anyway, yes.
So I've always been a big advocate of play-based education for primary. I think that's really important. And I think I remember being sat on rows of tables and doing sheets of... I can never remember what it's called. What was it called before photocopying?
Roneo.
No, it wasn't.
It was. It was Roneo.
It wasn't that, but something like that. The purple spirit.
Yes, Roneo stencil.
Blurry writing.
Yeah, Roneo. Purple stencil, Roneo printing, yes. Just squeeze it through a stencil, basically. Yeah.
And having sheets and sheets of sums to do on those. And I didn't mind doing them because I was, you know, a nerd, but... Yeah, that doesn't seem like the best way to teach children. So of all the places, like all the schools we went to, well, reception's more like another year of preschool. Toby doesn't want another year of preschool. He wants to be learning new things in fun and exciting ways.
Well, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, because when they've looked at very structured learning for children, it actually damages their brains.
Exactly. I don't want structured learning. That's what I'm saying. I want fun and play-based, but they didn't seem to care about teaching them anything. And Toby loves learning new things in fun ways. The first time he went, we changed him to the preschool at this school. Not that it didn't give us any chance of getting in, but it was just a better preschool. Yes. And the first day he came home, he sat down at the table. It was Martin Luther King Day in the Americas.
Oh, okay.
And they taught him all about Martin Luther King at preschool. And he sat down at the dinner table. And instead of going, "I can't remember" about what he'd done at school that day at preschool, he said, started telling us all about Martin Luther King. He got one, he got it pretty well. He just said one detail he got wrong.
What was that?
Which is that he said Martin Luther King was the little boy who was the king.
Okay, well, that's a minor detail. It doesn't disturb the narrative in any way.
Yeah, but cutely, I mean, that was adorable. But he did actually get the idea, and he understood that this guy fought so people of different colours should have the same rights. And he was like, "Well," and I said, "We said, what do you think?" He said, "Well, of course they should." So
does he? That's yeah, but he's pretty good. Yeah, well, wait until he actually meets a black person.
Yes, thank you, dear. He does. It's not quite as white here as you think it is.
Canesham is very, very, very white.
It is also, this school is also by far the most diverse of all the schools we visited. There were some where it was just whitewashing. It's like little mini Nazi rallies.
How racist of you.
Yes, I, like Jon Snow, am a massive racist.
Jon Snow a racist?
Well, you know, you did that thing where he said he'd never seen more white people than at the...
Yeah. Well, no, but Jon Snow has had problems with other things.
Jon Snow's an idiot, but I thought you were wrong with that comment.
I thought you were talking about...
From off of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I was thinking, what's that actor done now? But as far as I know...
Oh, wow, I never realised they have the same name.
Yes, they do. Are you watching the new series, or have you Armanded it?
I have watched the first episode that is available.
Did you enjoy it?
It was all right. I mean, it just feels like a lot of hard work moving. It's just got to the point where they're playing chess with 8 million pieces.
Well, they've got the dragons.
They do. Dragons are super duper cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. The one thing that put me off watching it at all was the notion that there'd be dragons, but now it's the one thing that probably keeps me watching it. Yes.
I just find it all, there's too many pieces to move and they all move so slowly.
But you're a gamer.
I'm like, guys, you've got like 5 episodes left, crack on!
Do you enjoy your trip to San Francisco?
More than normally, yes.
Why so?
Because I stayed in a very excellent area of San Francisco. So normally the convention is in the Moscone Center, which is a couple of blocks from Union Square.
Okay, which means that you have to crawl across the dying and the mentally ill, yeah.
Well, what was new this year was not only the dying and the mentally ill, but also the newborn babies on the streets.
Oh, brilliant. That's a lovely new invention. That's
an excellent new development.
Oh, wonderful.
So many breastfeeding mothers on the streets, which is really heartbreaking, obviously.
Although I'm glad that they're breastfeeding.
Yeah, that's true. With that.
Yeah. I imagine there'll be some wrong think campaign to bring those women some free formula or something.
Yes, probably.
To help them, yeah. That's brilliant.
I can see a man squatting down next to one such person trying to convince them to come to church. I was like, I'm not quite sure church is what she needs just now, you bloody idiot.
Although it's the only option that they've got because nobody else cares.
This is true, but I'm thinking maybe, you know, house before church.
Well, maybe the
hierarchy
asking
of needs and all that.
Ah, well, hold on. Maybe the church has a little vestry and she can move in.
Yeah, that's not very likely. What are you trying to say over me that's more important than what I'm saying? Get on with it.
No, you can't. You don't just get away with saying you saw young infants, homeless infants. You don't get away with just saying that. I mean, that is...
No.
They're now beyond the pale. You see the pale? They've crossed over it, and that's it.
Gosh, they're miles past that pale.
I mean, that's it. We're into things that people would criticize India at its worst for.
And I talked to locals about it.
They don't care.
And so one person made the argument that he said, "Yes, it's awful, but San Francisco is doing more than anywhere else.
No, it isn't.
They're spending so much money on this problem, everyone else from the rest of America comes to San Francisco, and the problem. So as much as they spend on the problem, they create more of the problem."
Nah, disagree.
Well, you can say nah, but it may be true.
Nah.
The other issue is apparently, and San Francisco has done this in the past, but neighboring states and cities are paying for one-way bus tickets for their homeless people to go to San Francisco.
But that's fine.
And so especially Vegas, apparently, in the moment,
well,
is
that's fine.
A big,
that's fine.
Big
then,
advocate
then,
of just then, bussing the just, problem away. It's not fine.
Need to deal with
it's abhorrent.
No, but they just need to deal with it then. Apparently, San Francisco is going to welcome all sanctuary city immigrants and these people. They need to either do it or they need to actually say, we've got a massive problem here and we can't continue and just make a big fuss. At the moment, it just seems to be that there's a kind of weird shoulder shrug.
Yeah, like, for
acceptable.
Sure. And it's insane that the you know, Silicon Valley isn't saying, let's fix this problem. We've got all the money.
Yes.
And we've got all the brains. Let's
correct.
Solve this.
They're not. Yeah.
And they're not.
So that's why
While the homelessness issue was no different further afield, I stayed a lot farther out than normal because I was paying for myself, so I couldn't afford like a fancy Union Square hotel or anything in the satellite. So I was out in an Airbnb in the Castro district.
Right, and?
And I've never been out there before, and it turns out to be the gayest bit of the gayest city in the whole world, and it was just so transformationally different place to stay. My apartment was round the corner from the building where the man who invented the rainbow flag lived.
Yes, of course.
Outside which there was an amazing mural and a sign dedicated to him. And then, rainbows lined the streets, and just the whole place just had a much brighter, more cheerful feel than anywhere else in San Francisco I'd seen.
And yet, still homelessness.
There's sort of severe homelessness problem.
Yeah, so I'm not impressed by their rainbows because of that.
Well, I can't help that.
Bad luck. You need to.
I asked someone for help with the trams, because I was using the trams to get in and out of the city. And, you know, it's always frightening to ask a stranger, especially a strange man, for help. Mm. And this guy was like, oh my goodness, let me tell you everything. And he was the friendliest man. I wanted to be best friends with him by the end of it. And it was just, I just felt safer in this area than anywhere else I have in America.
Was he very gay?
Turns out I am staying in gay areas from now on.
But the was he very gay, this gentleman?
Yeah, everyone was. I was like the straight person in this whole area. It was kind of amazing just to see. It's so awful how that I was like, oh, men holding hands walking down the streets is, you know, no, they're not ashamed. Hooray, this is amazing. Why is this not normal?
Did you feel a little icky when you saw that?
I didn't. That was, I would have, I think, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Maybe I was definitely, when I was a teenager, I used to have that sort of visceral reaction.
And then you would have felt guilty for feeling it, but you would have felt it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just being trying to be honest.
Yeah, no,
yes, in my teens, I remember having a visceral reaction. Rather than a cognitive one.
I think I still have a scintilla of it. It's not a disgust reaction, but it's a slight surprise reaction. Like, oh yes, oh yeah, that's a thing you can do now.
And then, it's almost and then like when you see someone with a missing limb and your brain tries to fill in where the limb should be.
Exactly.
You go, oh no, it's just missing.
Exactly. Yeah, my brain still has heteronormative templates. And then it says, oh yeah, that's another thing that can happen, and then it's fine. I've analyzed what that. It's more of a very slight surprise, but there is unfortunate deep introspection. There's no disgust. It's just a kind of a blip of surprise, and then this is a thing. Yeah,
just a week of being submersed into that got rid of that as well.
Oh yeah, because it's still, even in London, it's not that common to see unless you go specifically to gay areas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then the diner I went to for breakfast a few days, which was amazing.
And you had your hash browns.
They didn't do hash browns in this diner.
What sort of diner doesn't do hash browns? What the
well,
hell is this?
They weren't on the menu. I imagine you probably could have asked for them, but they just did amazing omelets. Had a sloppy Joe omelet. Oh my goodness!
Is that with the sloppy Joe hamburger, mincemeat, and the omelet?
Yeah, like a very loose, almost like what do you call it? Like a chili con carne.
Yeah, I know a sloppy Joe. Did it work
inside? Oh, it's beautiful. Anyway. This was run by, it wasn't run by a turnout. I thought they were.
Stop.
What?
You said anyway, you have to say any who.
No, I don't. So.
Anywho.
I thought it was run by, it turns out they just worked there, but there was a husband and husband team working in the mornings. And one of the guys was very chatty and very friendly. I chatted with him every morning. And eventually he told me that he was the man who organised the first gay wedding in America. And I was like, meh, where are you? And he showed me a photograph. Do you remember the lesbian couple? I forget what year it was.
I think they're divorced now.
I don't know. But anyway, there's a picture of this lesbian couple and him in the background. And I was like, oh my goodness, you're totally there.
Did you get a signature?
I didn't, because I've never felt the need. The only autograph I've ever asked for as an adult was Chris Morris.
Do you still have it?
Proof of purchase.
Proof if proof be need be.
Exactly. So, that's how gay this area was. This man organised, he was serving me breakfast and organised the first gay wedding in America in the gayest gayest diner on the gayest street. And it was just lovely.
Weren't you worried that you'd get breakfast AIDS?
and was I worried? I thought you were going to ask me, was I worried I was going to turn gay? And I did come close.
Oh, well, I as the actress said to the actress.
Good, well done. That was very good.
That was quite good, actually. Yeah. But what about the conference? I mean, you were going there as doll scum, basically, hawking your trade. You were basically holding out a little tin and shaking it violently in front of all the producers' stalls. Did anybody put a coin in your bucket?
Well, I went to two extremes this year. I was there shaking my empty dog food tin.
Uh-huh.
And I was there for The Guardian.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Even I didn't
know
that. And I know everything about you.
You should follow me on Twitter.
Oh, no, I don't use that. Yeah.
I had four pieces published in The Guardian based on my week there.
Four candles?
Really? Just the number four makes you go there, does it?
Four candles.
Yeah, so that's good.
I wonder what the latency is between people never having heard of the two Ronnies will be and their death. I imagine that Judith will never have heard of them. And
yes.
I'm, I mean, for example, I've asked people in my company who are, you know, we have a 19-year-old intern and we've got a few in their early 20s and so on. Women have genuinely not heard of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It doesn't ring any cultural bells whatsoever.
Really? Nothing. Wow, I don't even like the Beatles, and I can't imagine that.
It's just part of the metal furniture. And like they maybe heard of one or two cover versions of Beatles songs, but they're basically, they've gone. And that's what I find that very fascinating, because though we thought, okay, there are certain things that will have been stamped so long, I now wonder whether in a couple of generations the Beatles will be any better known than Valdunikin or something, you know?
Wow.
We'll see. So yeah, there is hope. There is hope.
I wonder whether those same people would have, you know, you see those news stories about riots in London after a certain YouTuber made a public appearance, and you're like, yes. And you go, who? I bet they've heard of those people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They will have, definitely. It's interesting to live through this. That things that we thought were very permanent cultural artifacts turn out to be decaying into dust, and I'm quite pleased about that in a funny way, because it's kind of an anti-idolatry thing even today, which seems to still be working, which I'm glad about. So anyway, you were saying you're the Guardian. Were they good pieces, or were they just workaday hack jobs?
They were decent. I wasn't.
Would you recommend that the listener read them?
I don't know. They're not. They were. The reason I'm hesitating is they were very topical. So one of them was about reactions to Google's announcement of Stadia, and I think the piece I wrote, a profile of Chet Falizek, who's a games developer. I think that's good. That's worth reading.
Okay, Google's reaction to Stadia, even I noticed the Stadia thing, but then I said, well, it doesn't matter how good or bad it is, because Google will be cancelling it in 4 years anyway.
Well, exactly. So everyone said that to them straight away, that, you know, because they announced this on the same week that they announced their close, the same week that they closed Inbox and Google Plus, both go the same week as they announced Stadia. So a lot of, and they said, oh no, we promise.
And Google Plus was the biggest, most well-funded project that they had that was looked after by their founders, and it's being closed now. So yeah, your promise is worth nothing.
Well, exactly. But then I think in the case of Google Plus, it failed, so it's reasonable to close it because it failed. Inbox, it was just unacceptable. It was so superior to Gmail, and there was no reason to close it, I can see from the outside. And it should have. And they said, oh, we've implemented the best parts of it into Gmail. Well, they haven't. It was able to learn how you treated different emails and categorize them automatically. Gmail just can't do that. It's just incapable of
that. I've spoken to Google insiders, and apparently if not enough geeks in the company can be bothered to work on a project, the project dies. They literally can decide, we can't really be bothered, we find this a bit boring, and then it withers on the vine. It doesn't matter how important it is or how much money it's making them or what the potential is. If they find it dull, they won't work on it, and they can't get anybody to work on it. And Google can't then force somebody, because they say, oh, yeah, well, actually, I'm going to work for Amazon or Facebook or whatever. Bye. Yeah. So that's an interesting example of what happens when workers get too powerful, John. You see, Karl Marx was wrong.
It sounds like Valve syndrome.
Well, it is. And do Valve actually produce games anymore?
Sort of. So really? They put out Anthem, which they've now announced that they're giving up on and closing. So
brilliant.
They do Dota 2 and things like that, and they're ongoing games. They are constantly working on, because people in the company seem to care about them. But you know, the reason there's never been a Half-Life 3 is because no one's ever been committed enough to finishing one.
I don't understand that, because surely it would be such a project of love, and it's so famous and infamous that you'd have thought it would attract people like.
But I think perhaps that also puts people off. There's so much pressure for it to be better than Half-Life 2, and I can imagine that, you know, I feel absolutely certain that there's still a team inside Valve prototyping Half-Life 3.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Because for the reason you just gave, why wouldn't there be people excited about getting that up off the ground? And I think what's happening is people are prototyping it, nothing's getting enough people excited, so not enough people will join a team, and then they'll iterate and iterate. And I imagine it's just stuck in this circle of people fiddling it when they want to, and then everyone going, oh, actually, we need to get this Dota 2 expansion finished. Everyone come and help with this, and how it is.
I'm curious, so do you have any connection with Rock Paper Shotgun now at all?
Do I have any connection with them? I mean, I still have all my logins working. I only left 12 hours ago.
No, legal or commercial?
No, none at all.
And when you left, are you allowed to say anything about them, or did you sign non-disclosure agreements?
I have signed nothing.
So you would have a... So if they
signed... there's a vague non-compete in my employer, in the contract I signed 2 years ago. But it's not really serious.
Enforceable. But so if you were concerned about a direction that they were taking, you would feel free to comment negatively on that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Promise?
Yes.
Give me an example.
I think I feel like I have done during, but...
Yeah, give me an example of that.
You're
still beholden to the man.
No, I'm thinking about... I'm trying to be honest. I think there's too much that's designed to drive SEO traffic.
Oh, that's fair enough, isn't it? I mean, you
diverts
need,
away from
you...
the front page. Yes, it's fair enough. It's a business. I mean, I knew this would happen, but I don't
And surely
like
you
it.
Would have, if you would have kept control, you would have had to have done something similar, wouldn't you?
Well, we didn't for 10 years.
Why not? I mean, because SEO. We've... I mean, okay, SEO is a bit wanky, but when it comes down to it, it really means let's get more people to visit our website. And you would have wanted to do stuff that got more people to visit your website, wouldn't you?
I think the reason we never did it is because none of us were interested to do it. We were all more interested in just trying to write good quality stuff that made people... What?
None of us was interested. It's not one was. It's not one were, because one is singular.
Yes.
Not one of us was interested in doing it. So repeat,
yes,
start
you're correct.
Again, please.
Well, I don't need to say it again. You've done it for me.
Okay. Carry on.
So with anyone before the sale... I think Graham was perhaps the most motivated to try to do that sort of thing, but
of course,
in that he was trying to make more money for the site so that we could employ more people,
which is a fair enough thing to do.
No, absolutely, an excellent reason to do such things. But yes, it was never our priority, and we were all just driven. We were all creatives who didn't care about business stuff, which is what why we sold it.
Biggest mistake of your life. Yeah.
Do you think?
I did say at the time, wait. I said wait. I did say wait.
Wait for what?
Wait. Just wait.
Yes, but we could have just waited for the rest of our lives. And,
no,
and
I think there was a false...
We'd gone as far with it as we knew we were capable, because we realised what we were in a rut in terms of, as a business, none of us had the interest to drive it any further forward as a business, because none of us was a businessman.
Well, couldn't you just employ your own business tosspot to push you in that direction while still retaining control?
I don't think it would have worked.
You would have probably just been cross with him and fired him.
Exactly. We wouldn't have listened.
No. You're terrible business people, basically.
Yes, terrible. But I'm quite a good entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. Well, in that case, when you're writing your new game.
When am I writing my new game? Well, I'm starting work on it next month.
Really?
Yes.
Is it going to be one that I'll enjoy playing?
No.
Good.
Because you don't enjoy playing any games.
What exercise are you doing at the moment?
None.
Really? Why not? There's no real excuse.
Because, there isn't. I really need to, and I don't know how.
You need to get a personal trainer, get some money so you can get one. So you're going
to. Yeah, I need to get a job before I can do that.
Well, get a job, get a personal trainer that holds you to account, because I don't think you're going to do it otherwise.
I can't believe you're not asking me for more Rock, Paper, Shotgun gossip.
Give me something that the listener will enjoy. One bit.
But see, that's just too vague. I'm not going to volunteer incriminating information.
So you're going to do a game, you're going to do odd jobs. Why don't you just become the Guardian's video game correspondent?
Because they already have that.
Well, get rid of him. Her. It could be a woman.
It is.
Obviously, it's the Guardian. Well, get rid of her.
I think it's arguable that Kez has been around in the industry for longer than most.
But not longer than you, so get rid of her.
No, well, there's almost, though. She started, I think, I don't want to say, because I get her in trouble.
Yes, and also you.
I think she may have lied about her age. She may have lied about her age to get her first job. I think that's true.
Okay, well, I admire that. When there were still video games magazines... Are they still?
Yep.
Really? PC gamers still comes
there are. I don't know for how much longer because of Future's. Apparently, I didn't know this until quite recently. Future's entire business model is about a controlled collapse. They took on magazines with the idea of keeping them going for as long as they can, knowing they're going to fail. But they don't need to fail. Like Private Eye sells 300,000 copies of Fortnite.
Which is a bit embarrassing to them because they want to think of themselves as the single summest. They're now more financially sustainable than many of the people they were satirizing.
That means they're making in revenue £1.2 million a month.
Which their costs must be about £20.
Well, I imagine their costs must be a few hundred thousand, but goodness me.
Yeah, a few hundred.
They must be making a lot of money for whoever it is that owns them.
I mean, let's be honest, the quality of the paper they print on is not really the most lush.
I asked Francis Ween about this about 20 years ago. No, not quite, 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I asked him, do you still print on crappy quality? Because, you know, they used to print on good quality paper. Uh-huh. And then they lost most of their money in a massive lawsuit.
Uh-huh.
I think in the early 90s, maybe. And they switched to cheap paper stock at that point because that's all they could afford.
Was that to Robert Maxwell, actually?
It probably was.
Probably for telling the truth about Robert Maxwell, because that's what happens in the UK, yeah?
Indeed. And I said, do you still use cheap stock because you can't afford more? Is it just a gimmick? And he said, it's just a gimmick now.
It's less of their look. I mean, they have a look.
Exactly.
It's like their UI. It's the UX. It's the user experience, John. That printing on toilet paper, grey. It's that, when you think of Private Eye now, you think of that kind of grey mulch.
Yeah, and it fades to yellow frighteningly quickly.
Which it seems appropriate because it's so topical.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. It's all there.
Yeah.
Is Ian Hislop still the editor?
Yes.
There you go.
That was that's for an astonishingly long time he's done just the one job.
Have I Got News for You, I presume, is not on anymore?
I think it is. I mean, I haven't watched it in at least a decade, but I think it's still on.
Paul Merton, 60?
Yep. There's no getting past the Harry and Paul sketch for the panel show sketch. Where Harry Enfield's Paul Merton just go, is it a dolphin in a bathtub?
That's the thing. They just dealt with both Question Time and that was it. That's it now. We have to close down.
These I must watch the rest of these shows because those sketches are so funny. They're awful.
They just got those right.
They got those bits right. Then most of it is just the same old Harry Enfield bleeding a character to death. They do another one. Actually, I saw another one, which is as good, which is their Dragon's Den, which is absolutely perfect.
I've not seen that one. I should.
Harry Enfield's Deborah Meaden is phenomenal.
I'm going to do a YouTube search after this.
You need to.
I will. Are you going on holiday anyway this year?
Yes.
Where?
I'm going to Toronto and Washington, D.C.
You see, where we're going on holiday is we're going to France and we're taking a boat and then we're coming back to France and then back home again on the train. What's interesting is it's now happening it's happening between May and June, end of May, June. And apparently on June the 1st, Brexit may happen if the deal goes through. So
that's shan't be allowed back in.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We will leave the country on different terms to the way we come back in. So that's going to be fun, isn't it?
Did you see that Europe's planning to change all its passports blue?
No, but I hope that's true.
I hope it's true. I don't know if it was a lie, but if it's true, it'll be just so glorious. It'll be the greatest piece of trolling.
It's worth spending €1 billion on just to
absolutely
troll. I would do it. I would say, everybody, a penny on your taxes, let's just do this. And they would. Yeah. I hope that happens. I hope it would be really great if the European Union suddenly implements the lion and the unicorn as the symbol of European unity as well.
It seems very appropriate at this point.
Yes, it would be. It would be wonderful. I'd hope that would happen. So I mean, it's. I still say I either want Article 50 to be rescinded or hard Brexit. That's what I want. One of those two. I don't want a fudge. because fudges are no good and they don't solve problems and they just make the problems worse, as you know. But that's always my philosophy, so it's not new.
But hard Brexit would make everything worse.
It would. Everybody would get exactly what they asked for.
Except for me.
Except for you. But, you know, these Brexiteers will probably, okay, this is what you wanted. Go on then.
They're not going to be, that's going to affect, like, the dumbass who voted it because he doesn't like all these bloody immigrants coming in.
Yes.
He's going to get his schadenfreude, but all the people who have just put all their hedge fund money into the disaster that it's going to be, then your mogs aren't going to get their comeuppance, are they? They're going to get their windfall.
Your mogs, and he literally is your mog.
I mean, but that's my point. So there is no. I'm not going to take schadenfreude from the disaster of hard Brexit, because I know that the people who caused it are profiting from it.
It's not Freude, it's Freude, as in Sigmund Freud.
I'm not very good at foreign.
Well, Sigmund Freud means Sigmund joy. So
does
Schadenfreude.
It?
Say it again, please.
Schadenfreude.
But remember when Mog was just a funny Rum Doings character a few years mm-hmm. ago? Nobody had heard of him. Only people who listened to this podcast had heard of him. And now he's going to be the next Prime Minister.
He's not.
Well, it's him or
Boris Johnson. I shan't allow it.
It's him or Boris Johnson. Which would you prefer?
It's not. It's going to be Jeremy Corbyn.
No, if you had to choose between him or Boris Johnson, which would you choose?
Oh, gosh, that's an awful choice.
It's worse than having to choose between your first and second born to give to the Nazis. But you tell me.
Oh, can't I just give both of them to the Nazis?
No, I mean, Mog will be very happy. He's already retweeted.
Woohoo! I would choose Mog out of the two because I think he's at least competent.
I would also choose Mog out of the two because I think that Mog isn't actually a genuine psychopath, whereas I think
yes,
I think Boris Johnson is. I mean, Boris Johnson has literally was happy to get people beaten up and so on. I don't think Mog is or would. So I would have to choose. I'd have to choose between the nasty ideologue versus the actual psychopath.
So, do you mean sociopath rather than psychopath?
No, I think he's a psychopath. I actually think he goes beyond that, Boris Johnson. Yeah. In as much as I think it will end up destroying him and everybody around him.
But what about all the pretty ladies, what he shags?
Yeah, well, there you go. Bozza with his floppy hair.
I got news for
you? Thank you, have I got news for you? Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Thanks.
And increasingly, I don't like it when anti-BBC conspiracies are true, but goodness gracious me, it does seem that the whole Aaron Banks and Nigel Farage thing does seem to be in the work of one far-right loon at the BBC.
Amazing that I was able to achieve that. Well done. Well done to him. I mean, frankly, there you go. Oh, the phone's ringing. The landline's ringing. That can only mean that my mother's calling, because since this is a podcast of clichés...
Surely it can only be spam if the landline rings.
I'm very sad. I don't really get spam to my landline.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it'll be my mother. Do you like my landline ringtone?
It's fine.
It'll do. I mean, it could be
your worse. Mobile will ring now if it's your mother.
Well, exactly. She'll try the landline first because that's the proper phone, and then she'll try this newfangled rubbish with a long number.
I phone my mum on her landline.
You enjoy it.
Well, yes, it's better than phoning her mobile because she lives in Cornwall where there is no phone reception.
It's funny that you have a parent who lives in Cornwall. People don't live in Cornwall, do they? They go on holiday there.
That's true. Well, my whole family lives there now, my whole remaining family.
I hope that she's learning Cornish, which is the language of choice for the Cornwall people.
That's true.
I was in Wales the other day and they now don't just have multilingual, bilingual signs. The Welsh is now obnoxiously bold-faced and prominent with a tiny little English subtitle in most cases.
I was in a supermarket. Is that your mobile ringing?
Yeah, well, I'll switch it off, yeah.
I was in a supermarket in Wales and they had the aisle signs
right.
written in giant Welsh and then tiny embarrassed English underneath. And people in the thickest Welsh accents, absolute thickest Welsh accents you've ever heard, chatting to each other in English in these aisles.
Of course.
And yet, if you'd ever have commented on that incongruity, you would have been burned to death.
I would have been Wicker Man immediately.
Yeah.
Into a giant wicker cheese on toast.
That's something we've discussed many times on this podcast, but it remains true. This linguistic crowbar between people is so annoying. It really is. And I'm not being Anglo-centric at the moment. I mean, I'm learning Spanish properly. I mean, I can speak, but I want to be completely fluent in Spanish because I think it is the important language to learn, and America will be a Spanish country within 20 to 30 years. So fine, we need it, and I'm going to do it properly. I don't mind that, but I do mind, as I've said, this fetishization of a language that deserves just to be a museum piece. But leave it in the museum. Leave it alone.
But what about all that Welsh culture, Nick?
You can have your culture. You don't need to put this stupid language on life support in order to keep the culture. It's a very insecure thing to say. There you go.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and I'm allowed to say, you're not allowed to say this. You're a massive racist. But as a half Welsh person, have the right to say all these things.
And you can still learn Welsh in the same way that you can still learn Sanskrit and you can still learn Latin. I learned Latin. Doesn't mean that I'm going to now campaign that all of Rome should be forced to have a second language or anything. For God's sake, stop your nonsense. Stop it.
And Scotland as well.
I mean, I shouldn't be speaking English, should I? It's foisted upon me as this colonial project, but I don't care because it's a useful and good language. So stop it.
So what you're saying is you're pro-colonialism.
The one thing I don't like about Spanish is the way when you want to say that you like something or you love something or you're interested in something.
I think you're wrong about this. I just want to say for the record, before you even say what it is, I think you're wrong.
Well, if you want to be precise, you have to say, to me, it interests me.
Or, I think that's lovely.
Or to me, it appeals to me. Or to her, it appeals to her. Because one of the pronouns is a bit vague, so you have to be precise, but there you go. Otherwise,
what ambiguity do you introduce if you don't double up on your me's?
Oh, well, the me's is not ambiguous, but if you're talking about he, she, or them, you don't know whether it's he or she or them. It's just to an entity, it appeals.
Right.
So you'd have to say to her, to an entity, it appeals. And they say, it's her you're talking about, not him or them.
Right. Well,
a ella le gusta. So le can be he or her or you are formal and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Languages are living and organic. Why don't you ask Spain to change it?
Yeah, I'll also ask them to obviously get rid of the silly, the gendered nouns. That's just silly. I think we can agree. Nobody needs those.
Yep.
Okay. Get rid of the gendered nouns. Get rid of that silly, the silly reflexive stuff. And then Spanish is a perfectly good language at that point.
Good.
Okay.
Say goodbye to the listener in some Spanish.
Adios, mucho gusto, a tout à l'heure. Oh no, that's French. Help.
I went to a Mexican restaurant in San Francisco called Tacorgasmico.
And did you get an orgasm when you ate it?
It was good. It wasn't that good, but it was pretty good. That was in Castro as well.
But you didn't actually have an orgasm, so you should have then.
I didn't come at the table, no.
Well, maybe there are gentlemen underneath that are supposed to help, and you didn't ask for their services, so it could have been your fault.
I didn't know the correct code.
The hanky code. All right, well, let's say goodbye to people.
Adios.
Adios.